Luke chapter 17. Now we're still talking about forgiveness. And I know I've said this over and over again, but sometimes that's the way in which even the Spirit of God uses to help us remember these things. Remember, there is divine forgiveness and human forgiveness. Remember that divine forgiveness always overshadows the human. It's always superior to human forgiveness. The reason is at least two fundamental reasons. Divine forgiveness never forsakes holy justice.
That's right.
Human forgiveness, that is strict human forgiveness, is based upon nothing but emotion.
Yeah.
Divine forgiveness always satisfies holiness. Joe, not even in the slightest iota does it lower the bar of holy justice. Mm-hmm. Divine forgiveness always honors holy justice. And secondly, divine forgiveness always results in a positive result.
Yes, sir.
God did not forgive us just to take us to heaven.
That's right.
He forgave us, and he also brings us to follow Christ, love Christ, believe Christ, trust Christ, serve Christ, obey Christ right on down the line. Now next, human forgiveness can imitate divine forgiveness, but it always has a limitation. That is, divine forgiveness, God in his sovereignty and his wisdom was able to satisfy divine holiness and justice and yet show mercy and compassion and forgive. Sin was punished. Therefore, God does not just let sin go. He never has. He never will. But oftentimes human forgiveness does. It must. It can't satisfy an offense. And often what human forgiveness is just, well, you just let it go. You let the offense go. And you try to work the memory of it to the back of your mind where you don't think about it all the time.
Yeah.
But there is a human forgiveness that can imitate the divine forgiveness. But remember that it must be based upon the sacrifice of Christ.
Yes.
Forgiveness is not for everyone.
Exactly.
All men are not forgiven. All men will not be forgiven. As a matter of fact, there is at least one sin that our Lord said would never be forgiven to the sons of men.
That's what it says.
You know, this idea is nothing but the lie of the enemies of God, that God wants to forgive all men. That is, at best, a slight to the sacrifice of Christ. And usually in the worst, what it is a denial of the sacrifice of Christ. Oh, they believe he died. They'll say he's a sacrifice, but they do not truly believe what the Scripture means. When it says, when the sacrifice, look at the Old Testament, when the sacrifice is offered, that sin shall be forgiven him.
Amen.
You know what it says?
Yeah.
It doesn't say he offers the sacrifice, then he or she must go do other certain things. When the blood was shed, the sin was forgiven.
Yes, sir.
I even heard it this morning. A fellow mentioned this. You know, if I didn't know my sins were under the blood, but yet I thought, but you, this man I heard say this, but you believe Christ died for the sins of all men.
Exactly.
And actually what he's saying is, no man's sin, the blood of Christ really done nothing for any man's sin. It's just blood being shed like any other blood was shed until someone does something. It's called believing or repenting or whatever.
Yeah.
But Scripture teaches this. Not that the sacrifice of Christ hinges upon believing or repenting, but believing and repenting hinge upon the sacrifice of Christ. So again, human forgiveness, which imitates or at least seeks to imitate the divine, must be based upon the sacrifice of Christ.
Sir.
You can forgive me and I can forgive you only in light of the sacrifice of Christ.
Yeah, that's it.
We don't just let sin go. Right? We don't just let sin go. And another one, all human forgiveness based upon the divine must not allow a persistent lack of repentance to be an excuse for anyone to continue in offenses. You know, people, they deny free grace, but they want to give free forgiveness.
Yeah.
Right? The world hates free grace, but they demand you forgive even apart from any repentance. Right? Well, you just got to forgive them. No, I don't just got to forgive them. It's not so.
No.
I don't even, you don't even have to just forgive me. There is to be repentance manifest.
Amen.
Now, there is to be a forgiving spirit at all times.
Yes.
Okay? We're to be ready to forgive at all times.
Yes, sir.
Yep. We're to be in the attitude of forgiveness even when the offense is being committed.
Yes, sir.
And before any repentance is ever manifest.
Yeah.
But if there is an evident lack, and especially a refusal for repentance or of repentance,
yeah,
then there is to be an actual refusal of forgiveness.
Yes, sir.
Even if that person is a child of God.
Yeah.
Remember?
Oh, yeah.
And we read Paul writing and said, listen, you got a brother and he's acting contrary, walking disorderly, and that person does not repent. He said, you don't count him as an enemy, but you admonish him as a brother. And you may even have to stop being having company with him, right?
Yes,
if that's what it takes. So now here we are in Luke 17, and that's where I kind of left off last week. And it's our Lord, we'll just begin there because it's kind of like, here's a thought, here's where he's beginning a new thought. He said, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. Why is that? Because God Almighty's ordained them to come.
Yes, sir.
That's why. I'm not here this morning. I'm not going to try to take time this morning to try to define that or explain that or try to make it somehow suitable to the human mind. God Almighty ordained that offenses come.
Yep.
The prime example of this is the death of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Men, by wicked hands, crucified the Lord of glory.
Amen.
They committed sin in crucifying the Lord of glory.
Yes, sir.
But even their sin was ordained of God.
That's it.
Okay?
Yep.
God purposed it take place that way. And as the disciples acknowledged this, when at one time they were very, Mason, at best, they were, at best, they had a good deal of ignorance.
Yeah.
Okay? But after the day of Pentecost, things begin to click. And after their being enabled by the Spirit of God, that he come upon them and was with them and in them continually now.
Yeah.
They begin to see the truth rapidly.
Yes, sir.
To where even the people confess this, that Herod and Pilate joined together, the Gentiles and the Israelites, they all joined together against thy holy child Jesus. And so they take it all the way back to the beginning, right?
Yes,
they are gathered together against thy holy child Jesus for to do whatsoever thy hand had predestinated. That's a proper way of interpreting,
yes,
that word. Had determined before,
yes,
what he had predestined. They'd done to him what God Almighty predestinated they do unto him.
Amen.
Everything else falls under that category. Everything else. That's why it is impossible but that offenses will come.
Yes, sir.
We cannot stop the sovereign purpose of God. And it includes even offenses.
Yes, sir.
But nevertheless, now human logic says, well, if God purposed it, then God can't judge for it. But they're thinking about a different kind of God here.
Exactly.
They're thinking about a God that thinks like they think. They're thinking about a God who's emotional like they're emotional.
Yeah.
They're thinking about a God who is bound by certain restrictions like they are bound by certain restrictions.
Yeah.
No. What does it say? It is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come.
Amen.
It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones. Now that's the context.
Yes, sir.
Right? He's talking about offending who? God's people.
Yes, sir.
That's what he's talking about. And the truth is here, as you look here, you look at all of this, you find out, now a lot of people say, well, he's talking about these little babies, these little kids that were amongst. There's nothing here in this context that teaches that.
No.
And he's calling his people little ones.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to tell you, in that, especially in that time, they were.
Yes, sir.
Their knowledge was very lacking, very sparse, right? But yet there he is. Now offenses are going to come. Truth is, God Almighty ordained them to come. But woe to the man by whom they come. And it had been better if somebody drowned him with a millstone.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a little sideline. And I'm going to say this, and automatically, see, if somebody asks, that's all they hear, then they think, well, he must be this or that.
Yeah.
You know. Let me give you all of these people. They're, you know, they gather together. They march with signs. They're against abortion. Why? Why? I was afraid that mother's going to go to hell for having that procedure done. But if they would actually take into account what they actually believe, the majority of those children who are aborted, had they been allowed to live, even based on Scripture, the majority of them would have went to hell.
Yep.
But everybody believes that little babies who die go where?
Yeah.
They go to heaven.
Oh, yeah.
So wouldn't it have been better that a millstone were hanged about their neck?
Yeah.
Huh? As I said, some people, they hear me say that automatically. Well, he must be for abortion. No, I have to be against it.
Yes,
this period. I'm not even going into the what ifs and this and that.
No.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. Men do not take into account the sovereign purpose of God.
Amen.
Even if I can't answer all of the problems that causes me in my mind.
Yeah.
Because my mind is so limited. And I am so much after, or in light of the fall of Adam, I am so much unlike God.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes, we were.
Yeah.
God. Exactly. Yes, we were created in the image of God, mm-hmm. and in His light. Isn't that what it says?
Yes, sir.
But remember, we fail. I don't believe that all of that is completely lost, because we still look like we always looked, right?
Mm-hmm.
We still retain basically what we were other than this, spiritual life.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I know we lost was real life.
Yeah. Yes,
spirit. We died in our father Adam.
Exactly.
And we're born in that state. Therefore, we cannot relate naturally to who God is.
Yeah.
All we can do by the Spirit of God and the new man is to bow to what God says.
Amen.
Now, it were better for this one, that this one who offends one of these, going to offend one of these little ones, it had been better for him to have been drowned, a millstone hanged about his neck. But look, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee. When I first read that, I thought, that's odd.
Yeah.
But it lets me know that, listen, offenses not only come from them,
yeah,
but it can come from us as well.
Yes, sir.
Right? Now, there will be offenses come from them.
Oh, yeah.
But there can also offenses come from who? Us.
Yes, sir.
Right? That links it together.
Yeah.
Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, well, just pray for him. Is that what it says to do? Does it say? Now, it ain't nothing wrong with praying for him. But if he does something wrong against you, what's it say?
Yeah.
Tell him he's wrong. You know, tell him he's wrong. Rebuke him.
Yeah.
And if he repent, what do? You forgive him.
Yeah. Amen.
But what if he does it again?
Yeah.
Well, if he repents, forgive him. But what if he does it again? Well, if he repents, forgive him. And our Lord said, if he does it 7 times in one day and says, turns again and says, I repent, forgive him. Now, my thought is, boy, that gives my brother a lot of leeway.
Mm-hmm.
Don't it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That gives you pretty good leeway. I got to put up with that at least 7 times if you got the nerve to do it 7 times. You know what I mean? In one day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that's, you know, I figure our Lord means if that happens the next day, there's at least 7 times there, right?
Mm.
See, the whole point of our Lord is if he repents, you've got nothing, you've got no right for anything else, you are to forgive.
Amen.
Now, that's free forgiveness.
Yes, sir.
But it's not a forgiveness that condones sin.
No.
Does it?
No.
I know. Well, if he keeps doing it seven times,
yeah.
It sounds like to me he's abusing this a little. That's not my concern.
Yeah.
You see, that's not what I'm trying to, that's not for me to answer.
Exactly.
Right? If he repents, what our Lord would say, you forgive him. Maybe I'm not, maybe I don't know near as much as I thought I did either. Because when our brethren here made this statement, I could relate to that.
Yeah.
Just off the top of my head, it says here, what? You forgive him, and the apostles said unto the Lord. What did they say?
Yeah.
Increase our faith. To me, that's a pretty plausible statement, right? Lord, to do that, I got to have more than what I got now.
Yeah.
Right? Well, see, the problem is, that is to throw off on what God has given me now.
Exactly.
That's the problem. Mm-hmm. You see. Now, they didn't say, Lord, strengthen our faith. Lord, strengthen me or us in our faith. They said, Lord, do what?
Increase
our faith. Now, the problem is, God has given us enough faith to justify us in our own hearts and minds and consciences. That's pretty daggone good faith, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
Now, that's what justification by faith teaches. It doesn't take faith to get me justified in God's sight. I am justified in God's sight by Christ's blood.
Amen.
I am justified in God's sight in my sight.
Yeah.
When I believe. When I believe. Before I believe, I have no right to claim justification before God.
Exactly.
But when God gives me faith and I believe Christ,
yeah.
Mason, I have the right to say I am justified in God's sight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Because I have faith. Faith is not what we do for God. It is what God gives us.
Amen.
And Paul in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 says, that God has dealt to every man. Now, every man is every man he has saved,
amen.
Converted. First of all, regenerated and converted. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. God's given us enough to do.
Yes, sir.
Right?
That's it.
God's given us enough to do. And as a matter of fact, our Lord gives an example of this. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed. You see, it's not how big the faith is, it's how real the faith is.
Yes, sir.
It's not how much I have, but who is the source?
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm? You see, if it's a faith that God gives, it don't care how small it is.
That's right.
It's a divine gift.
Yeah.
Even more. Now, the disciples may not have knew that then. Well, I'm sure they didn't. Not only is faith a divine gift, faith is actually the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Folks, it's the faith of God Almighty Himself.
That's right.
Do we gather that? Do we fathom that? I really don't think we do. You know? Our Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto that sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you.
Yes, sir.
Well, our Lord must have just been trying to metaphorize something. Right? He must have been trying to give some kind of, you know, illustration here. No, I believe he means what he said.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is, by nature, I don't have that. See, this must come from God.
Yeah.
And if it come from God, it's sufficient.
Yeah. Sir.
It's sufficient. But then he gives, you know, you think, all right, he could have just let it lay right there.
Yeah.
Right? But he did. He did. He gives an, now he gives an illustration.
Yeah.
He said, but which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, and will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me. Now, you see the illustration he's given here, don't you?
Yeah.
Now, got to be as straightforward. And we're not talking about a hired hand here. You know, we're not talking about an employee here. We're talking about a slave. That's what we're talking about. Here's a master and here's a slave. Here's someone that owns someone else. Lock, stock, and barrel. Okay? That person has the right to demand, to require, to call upon that piece of property for what they will.
Amen.
Yeah. What does Scripture say about us? You're bought with a price.
Amen.
Our bodies are bought with a price.
Yeah. Yes.
Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He owns us lock, stock, and barrel.
Amen.
Not only did He create us, not only in Him we live and move and have our being, but He bought us. He has the right to require what He will of us. You know, of us. You know, poor old servant working in the field all day. But our Lord uses a straightforward illustration. Would you say to that servant, "Will you go eat?" And I'll say, "What do you do? Before you finish up, you serve me." And now, that's the point. You serve me. Well, not. Make ready, brother, saying to him, "Make ready, wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink." Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when you have forgiven your brother seven times in a day, and they ain't a one of us has had to do that yet, have we? Have we? Not a one of us yet. But if we did, and we did that, you know what we're to say? We are unprofitable servants.
Amen.
We have done that which was our duty to do. And God has given us, brethren and sisters, He's given us enough faith,
yes, sir,
to do our duty.
Exactly.
We don't need more.
Yeah.
We just need to do our duty.
Exactly.
And when we say, "But I can't do that," no. You're throwing off. If I say that, I'm throwing off on God.
That's right.
You remember what Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me."
Amen.
God tells me to forgive. Bless God, I can forgive.
Yes, sir.
Right? He's enabled me to forgive. I don't need more faith. I don't need more repentance. I just need to do my duty. Serve God. The point is, how can you do that? Or not how, but in what attitude do you do that? I don't know how many people I know, or I have maybe, and especially knew years ago, who profess to love the Lord of glory, you know, to be believers, to be saved. And it was like, "Oh, well, got to go to church tonight." You know what I mean? "Oh, well, I'm supposed to do good works. I don't want to, but I guess that's what we're supposed to do." I remember thinking this myself. I'd much rather stay home and watch Wild Kingdom and old Stan wrestle the big snakes. But I remember thinking, "Well, I said I'm a Christian. I guess I ought to go." Now, you see, service to God, it is a duty. Okay, and we are His slaves, but we're also free-bought slaves as well.
Yes.
He has not saved us and bought us to serve self,
that's right,
but to serve Him.
Amen.
But serving Him is not a displeasure.
Amen.
If it's displeasing to you, you got a serious problem.
Right. Yeah.
And I think a lot of people's problem is not some of the basic fundamentals. It's not the problem of doctrine. It's not the problem of, say, Calvinism versus Arminianism. They truly don't love God.
Yeah.
They don't want to be owned of someone. "I'm free after all."
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? "I'm free." No, ain't a one of us free.
Exactly.
God doesn't save us to set us free. He saves us to put us in bondage to Christ.
Amen.
And if you don't like that, you got a problem with Christ.
Amen.
You see? Because Christ did say, "My yoke is easy."
Yes, sir.
"My burden's light."
Yeah.
And a person who thinks it's not has never truly known what it is to labor and be heavy laden, and then to have Christ, you know, take my yoke upon you.
Amen.
You know, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. Think about to be yoked by Christ. That means he puts a leash around our neck, and he's got a chain on that leash, and he has the right to demand we go where he says we go. We sit. Now I'm using another illustration. But we sit when he says sit. We stand when he says stand. Now I have a beast at home. And when we go outside, especially this morning, she went where I would say to go. And if she diddly-dallied around, sniffing and wait a little bit too long, I yank the collar and I say, come on, speed it up, it's cold. You know what? She does. Now if she'd have been freshly acquired Joe, that might be different. We've been together a few years now. And she knows that when I speak, I mean what I say. And let me tell you something, there is a sense in which we are God's beasts.
Yes, sir.
We're his creation. He owns us. And I can't stress that enough. He owns us.
Yes.
You know, like Henry Mahan one time said, give God tithes. He said, God owns everything you've got. He already give it, or give God this. There is a sense in which we don't give God anything. You know, Henry Mason said, all you do is pay taxes on it. You know, you don't own none of it, you just pay the taxes on it. And it's true.
Yes, sir.
It is. It is, if the Lord will.
Yeah.
And I've even caught myself saying it, and people say it to me at work. They'll say it, you know, out when you're not at work. Well, if the Lord will, we'll do that. I'll see you tomorrow if the Lord will. Well, that's okay. I mean, that's certainly not wrong, but that's not all of it. It is, if the Lord will, we shall, first of all, this, live.
Amen.
Because God has the right to kill me anytime.
Yes, sir.
I mean, when I said that, that's what I mean. I didn't just say, let me die. He don't just let us die. He kills us.
Yes, sir.
The Lord kills. The Lord makes alive.
Amen.
He don't just let die.
Yeah.
You know, that to me, Mason says he takes his hands off.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. His hand is there at all times.
Yes, sir.
And if the Lord will, we shall, first of all, this, live.
Yes.
And do this. And do that. And then I find myself, I know this is true. I'm talking about doing our duty now. And in light of having a brother who would sin against you 7 times in a day, but if he turns and says, I repent, you forgive him.
Yes, sir.
And then I find myself caught up with the things of this world.
Yeah.
It's all, you know, you begin, that's all, and sometimes all you talk about, rather than talking about the man who owns us. The King who redeemed us.
Sir.
The glories and the blessings that he's placed upon us. Oh, it's so rough. Yes, it is. But we're still to what? Do our duty.
Yeah.
You know? That's what Joe mentioned, and I've been thinking about it. I may not talk about giving in detail.
Yeah.
And I've been making a few notes here or there on it, but you know, Joe mentioned that, and it's very poignant because it says that widow cast in that money. These other people around her were giving out of their abundance.
Yeah.
And the fact is, that giving didn't hurt them. They had it to give.
Yeah.
Okay? This woman didn't have it to give. But she gave it anyway.
Yes, sir.
You see that? Now, there's a real sense, folks, in which we don't have it to give.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is.
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, Ellen, you could have used your time at home this morning very valuably. Right? But sometimes you make decisions, I'm going to do this no matter what. Now, sometimes we have to make decisions to where we sometimes do something we'd not necessarily want to do, but necessity demands of us. But what I'm trying to point out is we must never lose this idea that I am God's slave.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm his slave. He speaks of him having a yoke on my neck.
Yes, sir.
It speaks of this body. Can you imagine? This body. Look at it. Being the temple of God Almighty.
Yes, sir.
That I am bought with a price. Therefore, I am to what? Glorify God in my body, which is his. That's a tall order. That's like forgiving your brother 7 times in a day.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
To glorify God in your body. How can I do this? Just do your duty.
Yeah.
And remember, failure is not out of the question.
Yeah.
Because our Lord includes failure here, right?
Yeah.
Somebody's going to fail. Your brother may fail, right? He may fail 7 times in one day. But if he says, I repent, forgive him. Now here's a thought. What about myself?
Yeah.
Have you ever failed? Well, that's the wrong way to... When you have failed? It's not a matter if you've ever failed.
Right.
When you have failed, do you beat yourself up about it? If you know it was wrong, that's repentance.
Yeah.
You know? If you know it was wrong.
Yes, sir.
John says, if we confess our sin, he is just and faithful to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is no need, Mason, for me to continually feel guilt. When guilt arises, I am to say that is an action of a bygone creature. It is the action of an uncleansed conscience. And our consciences are to be cleansed by the sacrifice of Christ. When I look to Him, I see perfect satisfaction for sin. Right? When I sin today, I did not say if. Somewhere along the line, I will. It may just be in a thought. You know, I'm not talking, and most people, well, what are you planning on doing today? I ain't going to tell you. I will let you know. You have to come to my house and peek in the windows to find out. But let me tell you, God knows.
Yes, sir.
Right? He knows. And the fact is, when I sin today, my only comfort is not in, I just messed up. And listen, you can beat yourself over the head all day long. You can deny yourself things because you failed, because you sinned. You can say, well, I'm just not going to allow myself this today. But you know what? It does no good. When we sin, look to Christ.
Amen.
Right? And when I say look to Christ, I mean this. Remember His sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
That is where holy justice was satisfied.
Amen.
And somebody says, well, if I believe that way, I'd sin all I want to. Well, you probably do already.
Yeah, darn near.
You know, think about that, trying to blame God.
Yeah.
If I believe that, I'd sin all I want to. Mm-hmm. See, we sin all we want to now.
Yeah.
When I sin, I cannot blame it on anyone else but me. A man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. If I didn't have the propensity for lust and sin, I couldn't be tempted by it.
That's right.
The problem lies not within them or you. It lies within me.
Amen.
There's where the problem lies.
Yes,
when I sin against God, I must blame myself. Mankind, and actually the male did it. You know, and people say, you know, Adam blamed Eve. And there's a kernel of truth to that. You know, they like to make these statements. And man's been blaming the woman ever since. You know, I even told an inmate that the other day. He blamed his wife or girlfriend, whoever she was. And I said, well, there you go, blaming somebody else. I said, that's been happening since the beginning. But the fact is, the true kernel of the matter is Adam blamed God.
Yeah.
He didn't say, this woman here.
No.
He said, the woman thou gavest me.
That's exactly what he said.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
See, if we start to put the blame anywhere else but here, we ultimately end up blaming God.
Exactly.
Because remember, who does even offenses come from?
Yeah.
Who ordained that they exist?
Yeah.
Who? God.
Yes, sir.
Did Peter stand up and say, "You should not have crucified the Lord of glory"? Did he even deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
No, he said, "You did crucify the Lord of glory."
Mm-hmm.
But you did what God determined before to be done.
Amen.
You know? It's a sin. And you're guilty.
Yes, sir.
And when I sin against God, I'm not to be confessing. You know, here's the thing. Boy, all I pray for so-and-so, they'll confess their sins. I found myself doing that. I got too much of my own to worry about.
There you go.
Rather than spending all day worried about everybody else.
Exactly. That's it.
And let me tell you something. God never forgives a person because I ask him to.
No.
He never forgives a person because I ask him to.
Now,
I may ask him to forgive somebody,
yes,
and it may be that he forgives them, but he doesn't forgive them based upon me asking for their forgiveness.
Right.
He forgives them based upon the sacrifice of Christ,
amen,
first of all. He forgives them, that is, brings this forgiveness to their heart and mind and conscience through converting them to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
and he gives them that felt need of forgiveness in their everyday lives when they confess their sins. And one day, even though we are but unprofitable servants, he will receive us in the glory.
Amen.
Right? Now think about it. Well done, thou good and faithful slave. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Just for what? No, we're not talking about going out and doing, Mason, some great thing. Just for doing our duty.
Amen.
Our duty is, if I sin, I'm to repent.
Yes, sir.
Right? Most people think, well, to be a good Christian, you don't sin. You can't be a Christian and not sin. John says that, right?
Exactly.
The moment you say you haven't, you're a liar.
Yeah.
Well, I won't anymore. Well, that verse is true every day.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't true yesterday, and the more I can get past it,
amen,
it's true every day.
Amen.
But he forgives every day as well, right?
Yes, sir.
See, doing your duty is to not only forgive when someone repents, but it's to repent when you've sinned.
Amen.
Right? Father, I pray that you join our hearts and minds together in Christ, that we may think about one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, support one another. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.